Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this opportunity tonight to come together, Lord, to hear your gospel proclaimed by Brother John Shannon. Lord, we pray that as he prepares to break unto us the bread of life, that we are humble enough to accept it as your word, that we are sincere enough, Lord, to really search for the truth that can only be found in your son, Jesus. Pray, Lord, that someone listening wants to be saved tonight. Someone wants to be restored. Pray, Lord, that Brother John Shannon is able to prick their heart in such a way, and when he extends heaven's invitation, they will know what is required of them to be saved and to be restored before it is eternally and lasting too late. Continue to bless this nationwide gospel meeting. Pray, Lord, that it can continue to grow leaps and bounds. Pray, Lord, that we never lose sight of the focus of this meeting, which is to evangelize the lost. Pray, Lord, we never forget the sacrifice your son Jesus made for the entire world when he was crucified at Calvary's cross. Thank you, Lord, for raising him up on that third day, just as your scripture said, for we know he sits on your right hand. Thank you, Lord. In your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Flunder. We're very grateful tonight to have each and every person on the call, especially those who are not members of the Church of Christ. Tonight we have a special broadcast with a global broadcasting network, that is GBN, and they will be televised this particular message tonight. Brother John Shannon is the minister of the Church of Christ at Jane Road in Memphis, Tennessee. He's a graduate of the Memphis School of Preaching and graduated program as well. Brother Shannon is known, his trademark is charts. He used charts, and we are so excited that he's agreed to be on our program as well. And tonight, Brother Shannon will bring us a message and title the topic we've given him. It's a good one. You really want to pay attention, take notes of things going to be said tonight. What said the scripture about the doctrines of devil? Let me ask you to do this one. Give ear to Brother John Shannon. You don't want to miss this. Take notes. Listen carefully.
Would you turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 through 5, and we'll read this text. The scripture says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with an hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer." Our lesson, and we appreciate all of you who are listening in or watching, what does the scripture say about doctrines of devils or demons? In 2 John 9, the record says, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine," that word doctrine is singular, "in the doctrine of Christ hath not God, but he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son." But in our text, it talks about doctrines, plural, of devils or demons. When it comes to the doctrine of Christ, it's only one body of truth. But in the doctrine of demons or devils, there are many teachings. The word doctrine has to do with teachers. Now, we have a chart here behind me, and I'm going to refer to it, and I hope that you can see this. The subject is, what does the scripture say or teach concerning doctrines of devils? Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. I want you to really stay with me. Paul said in 1 Timothy 3:14, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth." Then he says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentile, received, believed on in the world, received up into glory." Now, just look at this. Now, notice what he does in his writing. So the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. I like the words that I learned from Foy Wallace. Some individuals say that the Church of Christ teaches this or teaches that. No, that's wrong. That's what they said in the Catholic Church, what the church teaches. The church is right. No, the Bible teaches, we practice. Let me do that again. The Bible teaches, or God's word teaches, or the Holy Scriptures teach, but we practice. The church can get wrong, but the Scriptures are always right. Now, we need to establish that. With that in mind here, there's the communication of the doctrine, verse 14, as in 1 Timothy 3:14. And then we have the conduct in the doctrine, verse 15a, and the church in the doctrine, verse 15b. And then we have the church is the household of God. Look at this. The church is the household of God, and it's the herald of truth. Now, are you listening to me? Now, then we have Christ in the doctrine. Now, the church is to support the truth. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. Members of the body of Christ, we cannot leave it up to denominational people to spread the gospel, uphold the truth. That's our job. It's the pillar and ground of the truth. We got to uphold the truth. Got that in mind? So Paul does this before he gets into our text. Then he says, now watch how he does this. He says, now, look at that. He just said about the church being the pillar and ground of the truth. Then he says, now. Look at that. Now he starts off with now. Well, let's look at our outline here. Oh, there's a lot of stuff up here, but it all works. We have the point number one, verse one, through AB there, is the departure from the faith, the certainty of the apostasy. It's for sure. Number two, departure of the faith, the causes of apostasy. What are some of the causes? We're going to deal with that. That's verse 1c through 5. And then 6 through 11, we have, watch it, the departure from the faith, the cure, C-U-R-E, for departure. And just in case I forget, sometimes I preach and don't usually finish my whole outline, but here's how, what Paul tells Timothy, and it applies to us today. Keep your attention on Scripture. Got it? Paul told Timothy, you keep your attention on Scripture. I like it in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 16. Paul said, take heed therefore to yourself and to the doctrine. I like that. Verse 16. He says, and continue unto the doctrine. And then he, notice what he said, the doctrine, singular. And continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now, the cure, keep your attention on the Scriptures. keep your aim on the Savior and keep your audience in school. Boy, isn't that nice? Keep them in school. Teach them in school. Well, let's run down this text here now. Point number one here, the messenger. It says, now the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, speaketh expressly. What you say? The Holy Spirit, that's the messenger, and his manner is he speaks expressly. What do you mean expressly? The Holy Spirit speaks clearly. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue, 2 Samuel 23:2. The Spirit says unto the churches, Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. How does the Holy Spirit speak to the churches? Now John wrote, the Apostle John wrote Revelation. And he wrote this 7 letters to the 7 churches. It was one letter. He said, what thou seest, write in a book. And send it, what it, the book, to the 7 churches. Now all these churches had the same book. So there's no room for denominations. All had the same book. He sent it to the 7 churches. You got it? Then he said, are you listening? The Holy Spirit's textbook. What do you mean? He's got a textbook. How does the Holy Spirit teach today? He's got a textbook. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing the soul, the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and of the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The power is in the word of God, Romans 1:16. So now watch this here. So we have the message of the Holy Spirit, his manner, he speaks expressly. Brethren, the Holy Spirit does not operate on anybody, saint or sinner, separate apart today with this book. Now, before this book was written, the Holy Spirit guided the apostles and prophets, watch it, directly. But now he's got a textbook. Textbook. That's how he speaks to it. Now you tell me one thing you know about the Holy Spirit that you didn't read in this book. Good? Now, then it says that in the latter time, in other words, the moment. Then he says, the latter time, from the time Paul wrote this, even down to now. Listen to me, even to now. Brethren, we have one system of faith, and the Holy Spirit, listen to me, speaks to all mankind everywhere the same way. 2 Corinthians 4:13, Paul said, we have the same spirit of faith according as is written. He said, I believe and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Got it? So the Holy Spirit speaks to all of us the same way. Right? Jude said, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort ye that ye should earnestly contend, fight for the faith. Listen to this. The Holy Spirit says, which was once delivered to the saints. I don't deliver no message. I don't deliver no sermon. Listen here, I preach the faith. I don't deliver it. It was delivered by the Holy Spirit to the church. Amen. Now, good? That's the gospel system. Now, listen to this. Now, then we talk about the multitude. He says, some shall depart. Oh, boy. I just got all kinds of books over here. Catholic, Roman Catholic, Lutheran, Presbyterian, Discipline, Adventist, Jehovah's Witness, all these, Christian Science, Methodist, catechism and manuals. Where all that stuff come from? None of that stuff. Listen to me. We have one system of faith. One system of faith. You want to be right? We ought to stand on undisputed grounds in matters of religion. All right? Now, with that, let's go to the next point. He says, the message. We have the messenger, his manner, the moment, the multitude, and the message from the faith. What do you mean? The faith. That is right there, Jude 3. Now, he says that some shall depart from the faith. Faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith. Faith. Got it? Now, when I say faith, I'm not talking about what you believe. Faith is, revelation is the basis for our faith. Are you listening to me? So if your faith is not based on revelation, that's not a faith. All right? Let's go a little further here. Now, causes of apostasy. Listen to this. He says, giving heed to seducing spirits, and here it is, doctrines of devils. That's where our subject came from. Now, what we have here? Personal devotion, devotional problem, giving heed. Deception problem, to seducing spirits. All of this stuff over here. We have the devil. Jesus said in John 8:44, "Ye are of your father's the devil. He's a liar and liar from the beginning." That's the source of all of this doctrine is the devil. He was a liar from the beginning. Got it? Go back to Genesis. The day you eat of this fruit, thou shalt surely die. All he did is said, "Ye shall not surely die." You see that? Now, that in mind, let's go on down here a little further here. We have doctrinal problem and the doctrine of demons. Description of these people. Let's look at description. How the Holy Spirit, they got bad mouths, a bad message and bad mouth. What do you mean? Speaking lies. Look at that. Speaking lies, they're bad manners, in hypocrisy. Would you show me this kind of stuff in the system of faith? Not there. Brother Shannon, why are you a member of the Church of Christ? Why are you a member of the Church of Christ? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 27, "Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular." The Bible says in Acts 20 and verse 28, "Take heed therefore to yourselves and to all the flock over to which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he purchased with his own blood." Ephesians 5 said he gave himself for it. Somebody said, "Well, the church is not important." Well, if the church is not important, the blood of Christ is not important, because it took the blood to buy the church. Now watch this here. He took his blood and purchased the church. Now question, did the blood of Christ, is it over here? Did the blood of Christ purchase the Catholic Church? Well, how do you know the blood of Christ purchased the Church of Christ? Because we can read it in the system of faith, but we don't read nothing about this over here. And I haven't read anywhere in Scripture where God ever gave a blood transfusion to any of this. No blood transfusion. All of his blood is in his body. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. In John 1:29, John announced, "Behold the Lamb of God that take away the S-I-N, sin of the world." Sin is the barrier between God and man. Christ broke that barrier. The blood of Jesus. Amen. The blood of Jesus. Is that all right? Now, they speaking lies and hypocrisy. They got bad mind. What do you mean? Having their conscience seared with an hot iron. Well, somebody said, "Well, just let your conscience be your guide." Well, the conscience has never been your guide. Now, what the conscience does is this. The conscience will make you feel good if you think it's all right. Now, I like what Paul said in Acts chapter 23 and verse 1. Paul earnestly beholding the council said, men and brethren, listen to this. Paul said, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. Well, what do you mean? When he was persecuting the church of God, he thought he was all right. Well, his conscience said, you're fine. But he didn't know any better. But once his conscience got, once his mind got educated on what's right and wrong, guess what? He won't have a good conscience no more. Now let me ask a question. Paul said in Galatians 1:13, you've heard of my conversation in time past, in the Jews' religion. Now watch what he said. He says the Jews' religion. What was the Jews' religion? It wasn't a Pharisee. Well, I tell you what you do. Take your Bible and look and see if you can find from Genesis to Malachi the word Pharisee or Sadducee. The law of Moses never made a Pharisee. That's why these birds hated Jesus, because Jesus was always trying to get them go back to Scripture. Who ever heard of the law of Moses making a Pharisee? Pharisee is mixed with God's word and the tradition of men. That's why Jesus could say in Mark's record, Mark 7:7, watch it, full well, watch it, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine to command with men. They're laying aside the commandments of God to hold to their own tradition. Now, the law of Moses never made a Pharisee. And the law of Christ, or the doctrine of Christ, or the apostle doctrine, never made a Roman Catholic. Never made a Lutheran. Never made a Presbyterian. Or any of these other birds. Well, how do you know? That's what the one... Brother Shannon, you're too bold. Wait a minute. You got to have a standard of authority by which to work. And the gospel is the standard. The one faith is the system. If it's not in the system, it's not right religiously. Paul said in Romans 1 and verse number 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Verse 18 says, for therein what? The gospel is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. If it's not in the gospel, it's not right. It may be old, ancient, and honorable, but if it's not in the gospel, it's not right. The Catholic Church is old. It's ancient. You can find it in the World Book Encyclopedia. You can find it in ancient history, but you can't find it in the faith. So therefore, it's not right religiously. That's good, isn't it? Somebody's going to have to tip me for this kind of preaching. Somebody's going to have to tip me some kind of, buy me a Coke or something. Buy me a good hot cup of coffee or something there. Is that good? Now, that's good, isn't it? Amen. No, let's go a little further here. So, speaking lies and hypocrisy, bad mind, having their conscience seared with an hot iron. They don't care. What do you mean? What do you mean, Brother Sam? You know, you start doing something wrong, and it kind of bothers you. And you keep on doing it, but it don't bother you much. Then, after a while, you get to the point where you can do it all the time and don't bother you. I know that man is the only being created in the image of God have a conscience. Now, dogs don't have conscience. Who ever heard of a dog having a conscience? Why, a dog will eat a little dog, jump on him, kill him, and take his food, and go right to sleep, never bother him, don't have no conscience. But man made in the image of God. We got a conscience. Now, don't you sear your conscience. That's a bad way to be. And I believe all of these birds over here, I believe some of these folks know the truth over here. I'm talking about these so-called leaders over here. But it doesn't really bother them anymore. Their conscience has been seared with a hot iron. They don't care what the scriptures say. The whole idea with them And Paul said in 1 Timothy 16, he said, for the love, L-O-V, of money is the root of all evil, all kinds of evil. That is, all this is about money. That's all it's about. Well, now, look at, hey, hell, boy, that's good, isn't it? Well, I look at the demand that, to practice. What? No marriage. I believe from my study that before the Roman Catholic Church came about, there was a group called the Gnostics. They were the knowing ones. See? And they had some strange teaching. You know, the flesh is really evil, and so therefore Jesus Christ wouldn't come in the flesh because the flesh inherited is evil. Well, that's not true. And John wrote, whosoever confesses that Christ come in the flesh is of God. If you deny that, you're Antichrist. Are you listening to me? Now, watch this now. And these Judaizing teachers there were saying that there's certain meat you can't eat. Now, watch this. No marriage. Now, let me just deviate a little bit here. Forbidding to marry. One time, I was in Ohio in a gospel meeting, and there was a guy that was Roman Catholic come to the meeting. Well, he didn't come, but some girl was dating him, and they trying to teach him, and they didn't know how to go. But I said, just have him to come every night after the meeting when it gets off. So I said, now, you got a Catholic Bible. Bring your Catholic Bible with me. I said, bring it with you, and we're going to have Bible class with your Bible. And so I asked the question. I said, the bishop in the diocese where you are, is he married? I said, is he a bishop? He said, yeah, he's a bishop. I said, is he married? No, he ain't married. I said, who said that? That's what the church said. But Paul didn't say that in 1 Timothy 3. He said the bishop should be the husband of one wife having children. I said, now the question is, what's right? Is it the system or the church? I said, wait a minute. God's word is the standard, not the church. So the church has come up with a doctrine saying that the bishop, the nun, the priest, the monsignors, and the cardinals, and the pope, they cannot marry. Well, I jumped on him. I said, well, Peter was the first pope. Is that what you say? I said, well, he had a mother-in-law. I said, now let me ask a question here. Can you mean I'm married and married and don't have a mother-in-law? And she's not dead? No, Peter was married. He had a mother-in-law. Where did that come from? Forbidden to marry. It's called forced celibacy. It's not wrong to marry if you're legal to marry, if you're eligible to marry, but you don't have to be married. Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians 7. I wish that men were like I am, but it's better to marry than to burn. And in the Roman Catholic Church, you got all this foolishness with how they mistreating little boys and whatever, right? Well, they need to deal with that. Why? Because if you go and let them get married, that'll cut that foolishness out. Well, anyway, the bishop must be married, have children. Now, they may not be married, but a lot of them got children. Well, what do you mean? In these convents, these nuns down in the convents there in the basement, they find little bitty graves, a little bones there. Are you listening to me? Now watch this. Listen to me carefully. Where in the world did those bones come from? Those nuns had babies. How did they get pregnant? Like the Blessed Virgin Mary? I don't think so. You think about it. Well, let's look. That's a little excursion. Let's go to next point here. No meat commanded to abstain from meat which God have created to be received with thanksgiving of them that believe and know truth. Got it? We're not under the law of Moses. Adventists think, watch it, that we're under the law of Moses. They talk about the ceremonial laws and the moral laws, well, not moral laws, but dietary laws. We don't have any dietary laws on us today. You don't have to eat meat, but it's not a sin to eat meat. And these birds saying it was sin. If it's not kosher, you can't have it. What? The Muslim, a lot of black boys go to prison. They end up with these guys from the Muslim there, and they say, you know, you don't have to eat no pork. It ain't no good for me. Now, you don't want to eat no pork, but you carry AK-47 under that skirt and kill somebody. Did you hear that? Well, let's go a little further here now. Divine proclamation, sanctified by God, for every creature of God is good. Under the law of Moses, let me just do this quickly. Under the law of Moses, God gave Israel some positive law. Now, a positive law is a law that God puts on an individual or a nation. And that law is between them and the nation. But moral laws are eternal, and God can't change moral laws. Now watch this. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 14 and verse 21, I believe it is, if my memory is correct. And if that's not the right chapter and the right verse, just read all of Deuteronomy and you'll run into it. But it's in Deuteronomy somewhere. Let's turn over there. Brother Sandra, let's just turn over there. I think I got time. I want to show you something here. That's pretty good. 14:21, I think I'm right there. Let me look here. That's 14, chapter 14 and verse 21. I want to look at this here. Look at this. Deuteronomy 14:21. He said, ye shall not eat of anything that dies of itself. Watch it now. And said, thou shalt give it unto the stranger that is in thy gate. Now there's a stranger in the gate. But he told the children of Israel, you can't eat it. That died itself. He says, then he said, or thou mayest sell it to an alien, for thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not seek the kid in his mother's milk. Now watch this. There are three classes here. There's the Jews, there's a proselyte at the gate, and there's an alien. Now, the alien, watch it. You can sell it to him, he can eat it, and the proselyte at the gate. But the Jews couldn't eat it. Now, if it's morally wrong, the Jew couldn't eat it. But that was a positive law that God gave to Israel. You can't eat anything that died of itself. You can sell it or give it to that stranger at the gate. Now, that's a distinction. Now, watch this now. In the book of Kings, I hope y'all stay with me. Book of Kings, God told this king, said, listen, told this prophet, I want you to go down there, and I want you to do what I tell you. And when you come back a different way, and listen, eat no bread and drink no water. Is that right? Is that a moral law or positive? It was a positive law given to one man. Now, that's not for everybody. It was just for him, a positive law. The law of Moses in the dietary law, that was given to the children of Israel, that wasn't given to us. That's the doctrine of demons there. Well, let's go on a little further here now. Then it says, sanctified by gratitude, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. That's pretty good. Well, so far so good. Let's look at this. Doctrine. You cannot make a Lutheran out of using the Roman Catechism. Listen to this. You can't take and make a Presbyterian using the Lutheran manual. You can't make a Jehovah's Witness out of Adventist book. A Jehovah's Witness won't make use their book. You won't have a Christian sign. The Methodists and the Baptists. You can't take the Methodist discipline and make a Baptist. Listen to me. You got me? Now watch this here. If you wanted to make a Baptist You got to use the Baptist manual to make a Baptist. Now look how confusing this is. In Luke 8:11, get this now. Here's a principle. Luke says, and the seed is the word of God. And Genesis declares that every seed brings seed after its kind. Yeah, I like watermelon. What about you? Take a watermelon, right? Seed, and you plant it. Say you get black diamonds, crimson, sweet. And everybody plant them. What are you going to come up with? Watermelon. See, God so fixed it that every seed brings seed after its kind. Now, leaving Tennessee or Mississippi and going to Mississippi, leaving Tennessee and coming to Mississippi, and you got the watermelon seed, the black diamond, the crimson. Listen, changing this, the climate or changing the country won't give you a different product. That same seed will bring watermelons in Florida. The word of God is the seed of the kingdom. And the seed of the kingdom sowed in a man's heart will never make none of this. It won't make Catholic. One seed. It won't make Lutheran or Presbyterian. It won't make none of that. Just think. I don't know you folks didn't know anything about a co-op. You go to a co-op and say, listen, I'm going to plant some soybeans. The guy said, well, we're out of soybeans, but if you want, we got some corn here, just plant the corn, you can get everything from corn seed. You can get soybeans, cotton, and everything. Do you believe that? Do you really believe? I'm speaking to the audience. You listen to me. If you can't take corn and plant it and get watermelons, cantaloupe, tomatoes, soybean, if you can't get but corn from that planting corn, why do you think that the scriptures produce all of this? No. That's the doctrines, the teachings of devils. I like this. 2 Corinthians 11:13-15. Look at this. Look at it. Lick your fingers and go with it. Just lick your fingers and go with it. I've been going kind of fast here. Let me slow it down a little bit here. 2 Corinthians 11. Look at this. Isn't this good? Look at this. 2 Corinthians 11:13. Look at this. They're counterfeit. Listen. Counterfeit. What you say? Counterfeit. Now let me out. I got to do it like this. Listen to this. Would you take, you folks in the audience who are listening or looking, if you work for me and I said I'm going to pay you in American money and I'm going to give all of you a $15 bill, how many of you take it? I said, no, I won't take that because that's counterfeit. Did you ever hear the story about the guy down in Mississippi, a little old town here called Merle, Mississippi, and some boys came from Chicago in just doing the 20s in a 1925 Packard, and they came into this old store here. The guy was sitting around there, and he opened this. He was sitting there, and the guy said, can I help you? He said, yeah. He said, I got some money you folk down here never saw. He said, what is it? He said, I just came from Chicago. Y'all don't have this kind of money down here. He said, I got a $45 bill. You think you can change it for me? And the old guy said, man, he's all, yeah. He reached in the cigar box back there and pulled out three $15 bills and said, here's your change. Here's it. I got it. I can change it for you. See, everybody's not stupid. Now, would you take a $15 bill? No. Why? Because it's not according to U.S. currency. Somebody said, no. And I said, yeah, these folks over here would take $15 bills. Why? Yes, they would. Why? They said, well, I won't take it because it's counterfeit. These churches are counterfeit. All of them are counterfeit. Why? They're not according to the doctrine of Christ. Counterfeit. All right. Is that pretty good? each one of these groups here, they got their own particular doctrine. Some of them teach some of the same stuff. But you know what? None of this stuff over here will produce a Christian. None of this teaching, doctrines of demons, will never produce a Christian. This is the only book that'll produce a Christian. There's only one church, many congregations, and they're all Christians. Acts 11:26, the Bible said the Christians were called first at Antioch. Why? You got Jewish teachers, Gentile converts, amalgamating in one body, which is the church. They were called Christians. Listen, no handle on it. No hyphenated Christian. Whoever heard of a Catholic Christian? Oh, no. A Lutheran Christian? Nope. Methodist Christian? Where did that come from? No, the Bible just says Christian. What? No, just Christian. No hyper, no, just Christian. What, they're black? No, Christians. They're white Christian? No, Christian. The Bible says in Acts 11:26, they had Jews and Gentiles. They didn't say the Jew and Gentile Christian. They just said Christian. Peter said, if any man suffered as a Christian, Agrippa said, almost thou persuaded me to be a Christian. Now watch this. He did not say, almost you persuaded me to be a church of Christ. What is that? Nowhere in Scripture was the church ever called, the people were called Church of Christ. Are you Church of Christ, John Shannon? No, I'm a Christian in the body of Christ. What you say, I'm not no Church of Christ preacher, I'm a gospel preacher. That's what's wrong now. We got too many Church of Christ preachers preaching doctrine of demons. Boy, isn't this good? Boy, this is good, isn't it? Now what I'm doing is the cure. Drop all of this. The Bible only makes Christian only, and the only Christian. They're in one church. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now watch this now. Brethren, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Listen to me. God is the primary cause of man's salvation. He willed it. Jesus Christ is the sacrificial cause in man's salvation. You got it? He died on the cross, right? And shedded his blood, and the blood of Christ is the procuring cause. Now, brethren, listen to me. To be a member of this one church, you got to hear the one faith. In 1 Corinthians 12, in verse number 1 Corinthians 15:1-2, we find the death of Christ, the burial of Christ, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, when Jesus Christ, and his ascension to heaven, Acts 1:11. Now, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he paid it all. Faith in his blood, Romans 4:16. Faith in the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is the only thing that takes away sin, Revelation 1:5. Now listen to me. When I hear this gospel and believe it, Acts 15:7, Acts 8:1-14, the Bible says that Philip went down to a city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Acts 8:12, when they believed Philip, preaching the thing concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Now watch this here. When you hear and believe the gospel, now you got to repent of your sins. Acts 17:30, the time of this ignorant God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent. What is repentance? Godly sorrow, working repentance. Are you sorry that you offended God? Then you confess with your mouth your faith in Jesus, Acts 8:37. Then you immerse or baptize in water for the remission of sin. Now, brethren, let me stop right here. When you hear and believe, repent, and confess, don't think that's your Savior. That is not your Savior. Christ is the Savior, and we're doing what the Savior tells us to do. all the way through, I'm depending on Jesus and what he did. It's not what I do, it's what he's already done. Now, when you're talking about repentance, are you converted to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you converted to the saints or the scripture? Are you converted to the Savior and the scripture? I am not converted to nobody in the church of Christ. I'm converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't come and worship God on the first day of the week because somebody pressured me. I'm a member of the Church of Christ. Watch, Billy Sasser, watch this. He helped bring me to Christ. But I'm not converted to Billy. Why? No, Billy can go wrong. I'm not following Billy. I'm not following Mike Easton. Are you vet either? What you say? That's right. Well, who are you following? I'm following Jesus. As I travel this Christian life, I'm depending on what the Lord have done. Oh, boy, I don't know. Let me get here. I could go to Chronicles. There it says, when the children of Israel, Judah was faced with fighting Israel. Israel had 8,000 men, and Judah had 4,000 men. But Judah won. And the text says, because they relied on the Lord. What you say? When, listen here. When I hear, believe, repent, and confess, and be baptized, and live faithful, all the way through, I'm depending on the Lord. Now, I'm a member of the body of Christ. I got to worship God every first day of the week. Nobody forced me to worship. What you say? Nobody forced. Can you imagine Billy Sasser calling me, John, you going to worship this morning? Oh, no, I didn't want to do that. Why? I'm converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. I gave my life to Jesus. I made up in my mind I want to follow Jesus. I don't need anybody to push me. When it comes to giving, I don't want nobody. Are you going to give? Are you going to say no? A lot of members of the Church of Christ, you got to push them. Why? You ain't really never been converted to Jesus. See, when you converted to Lord Jesus Christ, you drop all of this. I used to be right up here, Catholic. I had to come down and come out of that, come out of that stuff. Well, boy, isn't that good? Now, watch this here. Faith, repentance, confession, baptism into Christ for remission of sin. Now, what's going to be your guide? What's going to be your guide? Are you waiting for Jesus to talk to you? Are you waiting for the Holy Spirit to talk to you? Wait a minute. Here it is. Here it is right here. That's why you need to read the Bible. The Bible says in John chapter 10, he said, and the sheep hear his voice and they follow him, for they know. Listen here, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Let everyone that named the name of Christ depart from iniquity. 2 Timothy 2:19. Listen here. So when you remember the body of Christ, you're a Christian. Right? You don't follow this junk here no more. None of this. Doctrine, this stuff right here will send you to hell. You follow that doctrine? I got a lot of good friends in these churches, all of them. And I like them. But I don't like them well enough to follow them. I don't follow nobody to hell. I don't love nobody that well. Well, let me stop here and smile a minute. It's time for me to quit here. And I hope you folks get this. You got it? We've been talking about the doctrine of devils. So we got in 2 Corinthians 11, 13 to 15, we got the devil's false apostles, right? Look here. Then we got the devil, the fallen angel, verse 14. And then we have the devil, faithful agent. What do you mean, faithful agent? Anybody, whether they know it or not, that's in these churches over here, with all, and each one of them got a different doctrine, they are faithful agents of the devil. You see that? Now, what in the world can I do to get out of that stuff? Well, you know, you have to give up a lot of stuff coming to Jesus Christ. There's a lot of stuff you have to give up. Coming to Jesus Christ is no cheap deal. That's why I know denominationally, they just say, well, just raise your hand and say this, send us prayer. I hear these birds on TV And I said, I just can't believe people are that ignorant. Well, I used to be in the same shape. Used to be, just believe anything they say, just like a bird. You know, a little bird in a nest? Mama just opened his mouth up and she just dropped something in there. And that's where these folks in all these churches, they just open their mouth and the pastor get up, tell them anything, they believe it. Never take time out to search the scriptures. Check the scripture out. Do some investigating. Look at here. Watch it. Do some research on your church. See if you can find it in the scripture. Now, I'm not telling you that everything in these books is false. No, it's not false. But you see, it's some truth in each one of them. It's some truth in each one of them. It's just kind of like rat poison. All the rat poison, watch it. That block you buy, just one bite, 95% of it is good. It's just the 5% that kill you. See, but over here, all of this is good. The Bible says in Proverbs 30, verse 5 and 6, every word of God is pure. He's a shield to them that put their trust in him. Add thou not to his word, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a lie. See, they added stuff to God's word to come up with this. But over here, let's follow this. Faith, repentance, confession, baptism into Christ for the remission of sin. Now get this now. The Lord, Acts 2 and verse 47, says, praising God and having favor with all the people, watch it, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Question, did the Lord ever add anybody to these? Did he ever add anybody to the Roman Catholic, Lutheran, Presbyterian, disciples of Christ? Let me just put this in. The church was never called the Christian church. It was never, and it's not called the Christian church today. The Christian church is not the church of the New Testament. Why? The Bible says in Acts 11, 26, about 10 years after the church of the Lord was started, that the name Christian was given. So it couldn't have been called the Christian church. What do you mean, Christian church? The church doesn't belong to us. It's the church of Christ, or the body of Christ, or the church of God. And we can call the God's church anything that the New Testament calls it. But we refuse to call it anything that the New Testament doesn't call it. And I haven't found nowhere where this is found in the New Testament. I hope you've enjoyed this lesson, and you in the audience out there, obey the gospel before it's eternally too late. Faith, repentance, confession, baptism into Christ for the remission of sin, and live a faithful life. Thank you as always, and God bless you.
We're very thankful tonight to have everybody on the call, and I know you enjoyed the call as I did, and we are so thankful Brother Shannon accepted our invitation. As I said earlier, this call is a combination of working with the joint effort with the Global Broadcasting Network. This is a pre-recorded call. It also will be televised, and we encourage everyone to go to gbntv.org, and at some point this broadcast will be televised, and you'll be able to see the chart. However, we will also upload it to our YouTube page, and you'll be able to see the chart and go back and listen to Brother Shannon tonight. I know tonight's call was a little bit more lengthier than normal. But however, we are doing this because we are now in joint effort with the Global Broadcasting Network to take our program to even further reaching a further audience than we've done already. And I'm so thankful that Brother Blackwell and Brother Mike Hickson has worked with me with the Global Broadcasting Network to help us with commercials, and they're also broadcasting our program now on the television. And we're very thankful to have them, along with the Memphis School of Preaching and others who are working with us, ensure that this nationwide gospel meeting is exposing many to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're on the call tonight, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we want you to know that we speak the truth in love, and what Brother Shannon talked about tonight, we endorse it 100%. We believe that the Bible is right, and we also believe that when you speak the truth in love, there are those who are seeking the truth, who want to know the truth, and they don't want to be their ears tickled. And we're not going to do that for you. We're going to tell you the truth. All of our preachers that we bring on our call, we are committed to teaching the truth in its simplicity and teaching it boldly. And we believe that there are those who are seeking the truth and those like those of us in the churches of Christ. We want to know what does say the Lord. What says the scripture about saving my soul? And so we on tonight, if you have a question about anything that's been said, you can email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. And if you would like questions answered, or you don't want to be baptized, or you want to know a church of Christ closer to you, we'll be able to help you in any way. If you'd like a Bible class, go ahead and email us. Now, perhaps you want to go back and you want to dissect what was said tonight. You want to listen carefully. We have this uploaded. We should be uploaded tonight or tomorrow morning early. Go to our website, HollowHeightsCoc.net. That's HollowHeightsCoc.net. And there you'll be able to listen to recorded calls from all of our speakers since the month of May. We are so excited tonight to have each and every person on the call, and especially those who are not members of the Church of Christ. We pray you'll obey the gospel before it's eternally too late. You got to get baptized, and you must be. If you get nothing else from us, you should get this. We believe that the Bible is right, number one. Number two, the saved are in the Church of Christ. The only church in the Bible is the Church of Christ. We're making that plain. We're making that clear. And you must be baptized to be a member of that true church. You can be baptized before, but that don't mean if you're not in the one church, that baptism was not according to the scripture, and that baptism does not count to save your soul. Listen carefully. That baptism does not count. You need to think about what we're saying. Make sure you do it according to the scripture. Do it according to the faith that you can read about in the scripture. The scripture is a faith. The Bible is faith from God. And the faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let us pray to God. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessing. We thank you for this special night we have joined with GBN. We thank you for allowing them to assist us with this outreach and this program. And we thank you for all those involved in making it possible. Lord, we pray a special prayer for those of our visitors, those of our friends, family, and loved ones whom we love. We wanted them to hear this truth. Now we pray for their hearts to be open, to receive with meekness your engrafted word, knowing it's able to save their souls. Lord, we love you. We thank you for sending your only son. And we thank him for giving his life and shedding the blood that will wash his sins away, and that same blood that purchased his church, the Church of Christ. Lord, be with us as we continue to spread your word to a lost and dying world. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Tomorrow night, don't miss tomorrow night, Brother Scott Kane. Going to bring us the closing message for this month. The Lamb of God. What said the scripture about the Lamb of God? And next week, we kick off week one of October. And yours truly, Brother Brooks, will be the first speaker. I hope you'll call and listen. May God bless you. We got a coronavirus out here. There's a problem that's bigger than the corona. It's the sin coronavirus. I'll talk about that Monday night. Please join us. I pray everybody have a good night's rest. May God bless.